Thanks, guys. I thought, where'd my little stand go? Thank you. Oh, bless you guys. You know, I would strongly consider coming back here. No, seriously. I was sitting there today and I thought the weekend's a blur to me. It's like, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of the things on my heart. Like, I know it's not true, but I felt like I barely got anything accomplished. But I know we spoke what's for the room, for the moment. I get that. But man, I just feel like there's so much in my heart to share. So we'll see, what, you know, if that was, that probably won't be possible, but however, we'll look at something. But man, let's just jump right into this, okay? Because we want to pray for the sick tonight. And I want to talk a little about healing, because it seems like if there's a area, and it's just my belief, my opinion, if there's an area that I feel like we've been really misunderstanding in, and we've really allowed circumstances to dictate our belief instead of God's word and Jesus' life, it's healing. And we've lost a lot of people, and we've had a lot of received disappointments, and we've seen things that haven't happened, and we tend to believe the circumstance instead of the word. And I want to talk about some things, but there's a couple things we're going to nail down quick, okay? So can you do something with me? I don't normally do this. I just get up and I'm ready, but I feel like I want to just pray and invite you guys to believe with me, and that God would speak to us clear. And what I want to ask you all to do, if you had the humility and the faith and the desire to come here, would you ask Holy Spirit to speak tonight and make sense to your heart and to your understanding, and establish? Ask him to establish these things in you and bring them to your remembrance continually as I pray, okay? Would you do that? Father, I thank you for fathering us. I thank you for speaking to us. And I just ask you to make it so clear. I ask you to, in these couple short times together, that you would impart something that isn't removable, something that remains, and fruit that remains. Lord God, would you bring forth your desire through our lives, through this weekend, and multiply every seed that was ever sown into our lives. Confirm every voice through the mouths of two or more. Let this weekend participate in that process and have your way and be glorified. And most of all, be fulfilled in your desire and find pleasure through the fruit of this weekend in Jesus' name. All right? Okay. Now listen, I've been talking about becoming love, okay? So don't get weary with me. It's really all I talk about. And there's a reason. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of our instruction, the purpose of the commandment, is love. Where does love come from? Through a pure heart, clear conscience, and unfeigned or sincere childlike faith. So love comes from a pure heart, clear conscience. They all work together in an unfeigned faith. You violate your heart, you'll violate your conscience. You violate your conscience, you shipwreck your faith. You get it? And love gets subverted. If you don't pursue what a pure heart means in the kingdom, how can you ever arrive at becoming love? Because love flows through a pure heart. If you have other motives, if you minister for motives, if you need to have a mic for motives that aren't pure and aren't sincere, come on. I'm never impressed with gifting. I'm impressed with people becoming love. Gifting is without repentance. God will move through a backslidden, intoxicated man to reach a need. He will. I've seen it happen. I saw a guy that didn't read his Bible for a year or pray and was living condemned and running and living homeless and doing drugs and finding ways to get money and scamming people. And yet he had the kingdom buried down inside of all that stuff he was giving himself to, because he started believing lies and he just walked away. And he met a man and a woman, and she was really hurting, and she was in a wheelchair, and she was having trouble getting around, and he was thinking about putting her in a nursing home. And this guy's heart broke for some reason, something about their situation. I don't remember the details. He cried out, and what was down inside of him came up through all that stuff and touched her. She got completely healed, and when she got healed, he got freaked out because his mind said, wait a minute, I can't do this. I'm disqualified. I'm out of order. The guy called me and said, this man, it was amazing. He started to cry and he prayed and he grabbed my wife's hand and she changed. And he said, and then he got really strange, seemed uncomfortable, wrote down your name and number and said, call him, he'll explain. And he took off. I said, was his name so-and-so? He said, yes. I said, wow. We ended up tracking him down, by the way. And God restored his heart in so many beautiful ways. God moved through him to reach her. Your gifting doesn't qualify you. Your gifting isn't the end result. Your gifting doesn't reveal that you have this going on. Your gifting just means you're gifted. Your love means you have this going on. You know them by their love. It's not their gifting. Come on. The biggest thing in the church is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And I get it. And it's powerful and it's scriptural. But our thought is there's no cancer in heaven, so there's no cancer on earth. And it inspires us and gives us faith to pray for the sick. And I get that. I'm not in disagreement with it. But we make his will done on earth have more to do with the power of God than the heart of God. There's no offense, backbiting, judgment, gossip, nitpicking, hurt, discouragement, bewilderment, pride, competitive. None of that's in heaven. Let your will be done here as it is in heaven. The problem is we think that whole list is normal to us. But it's not what you were created to be. It's what you became through the fall. I said it yesterday. People say, well, God gave us emotions, not the ones you grew up with. No, he didn't. Adam gave you those. And all those emotions are hinged on a foundation of self-centered thinking. And Jesus said, deny yourself so you can pick up your cross and follow him. Picking up your cross is walking in love. It's never letting things change who he is in you. It's never letting sin against you produce sin in you. Carrying your cross is never becoming a product of what's wrong because you've already been settled in what's right. You're not caught up in the stuff. You carry your cross. Yeah? It's just good stuff. You'll never carry your cross if you don't deny yourself. If you're a Christian, for you, you'll never carry your cross. You'll take offense in people and things and ministries and maybe even God. Let's never reduce him to our busboy or our table waiter or a genie in a bottle. He's the father of all creation and we're his kids. He said to me a long time ago, Dan, there's a lot of talk about the fathers. And I felt like at that season, there was a lot of pressure on men because everybody was coming out with, if the father's this and if the father's that, and when the fathers rise up and then, and they were using the children back, the fathers and the father. And I get all that, but it was just overemphasized at that season in my life and in the circles I was in. And the Lord said, Dan, fathers can change. There's some things fathers can, increase on, but we could say that about everybody. He said, it's not a father issue, Dan. And I'm laying on my bed and I'm listening to the Lord. And he said, would you say I'm a good father? I said, Lord, you're the best father. He's like, do I need a parenting program? I said, no, I felt that sounded silly. He said, well, then why isn't everybody running to my lap? He said, it's not a father issue. It's a lack of belonging. And a sense of sonship. Because there is nothing wrong on the Father's end. And if we really saw him for who he was and who he is, we would run to him. Yeah? This is good stuff to me. Makes me think and changes my life. The goal of our instruction is what? It's love. What's it flow through? Pure heart, clear conscience, sincere and unfeigned faith. I want you to see something, and I want you to bear with me, and we're going to go on to healing in a little bit here. And we're going to pray for all the sick in this room, and I'm just telling you ahead of time, good things are going to happen. I'm just telling you. And I don't even care if somebody musters up unbelief and sits cynical. I'm glad you're here, because there ain't no unbelief has the power to stop Jesus. It's unbelief in believers that stops the power of God. We'll have fun in a minute. I'll talk to you. Yay. Go to Matthew 24, please. I just want you to see something. It's not preached on a whole lot, and I don't preach on it much. But it jumped in my heart a few minutes ago. We're going to read it and see where it ends and see what it does, and I think it'll help us. So who has ever gone through this thing where condemnation is just relentless and things keep reminding you in your mind of what you were, what you missed, what you haven't fulfilled and how you've messed up, and your mind tends to track in a way of condemnation? Or when somebody's talking, you hear them for where you're not instead of where you're called, and there tends to be a negative impression that comes to your life that you would see as trying to condemn you at times. Anybody relate to that? Here's the problem. It's a strategy. It's an assignment. It's a strategy from hell, because he understands if he can violate your conscience or condemn you, he puts your heart in question. You'll never arrive at love. You're always trying to become something that's acceptable and pleasing, and you're always in question in your own identity. If love works through a pure heart, clear conscience, and unfeigned faith, then it must be possible, if God's called us to love, to actually walk in what the Bible calls a pure heart, to actually have sincere motives, to actually mean well, to never have a string attached. How many times do we do things with ourselves in mind, or a benefit or a kickback? How many people in the world could you approach and they're wondering where the catch is and what's in it for you, because nothing seems free? Even the church, we get caught in that. We get good ideas for charity and gestures of love, but it always has a story. We do it so we have access to them. We do it so we can preach to them. We do it so we can pray with them the prayer that gets them saved. It seems Christian. It seems right. They're on to us. Those gifts are marketing tools a lot of times. We open up a park and do all kinds of free things for the kids, and the parents are thinking, yeah, because they want to trap me in a corner and get me to believe what they do. So they're doing free things for my kids to get me there. And behind the scenes, that's what we're doing. I just wonder when you give them a bottle of water because they're thirsty. Like, when do you just open the park and spend some church finances and just bless families with nothing in return, but yet you're there and available, and if they ask, bam. But you just, and they say, why are you doing this? We just feel like it's time to start valuing our community. Just appreciating families. Well, yeah, but I mean, what's your intention? Just loving you. We're growing in love. And we care. We like seeing your kids laugh and have joy. It seems like a safe environment. Doesn't it feel good here right now? Yeah. We did that in a park and nobody showed up. And I said, whoa, it's a very busy park. And the worship team had a great plan and they were a little let down. We had to cheer them on because they were ramped up to worship and they were going to worship in the park and let it rip, right? And they just envisioned people laying in the grass getting saved and people walking down the street getting struck by God. And they prophesied it all out for months. We go to the park and nobody's there. And we were like, whoa. People were like, what's going on? And in my heart, And my buddy Todd was just saved, and he was just awesome in God. He had just gotten free from himself. It was good. And I said,
Men, I'm hearing in my heart that they feel like it's just a church program and we just have motives and we're just trying to get them to come to our church or get them to pray a prayer and believe. And even though our intentions are good, they have them judged through a lot of the things we've done as a church all across the land. And they said, what do we do? I said, let's go around and knock on a bunch of doors and let them know why we really came to the park and rented the park. And let's encourage them to come and let them know that we have no other plan. We're not trying to trap them or trick them into anything. We just want to learn how to love. And we have it in our heart to bless the community. So let's go around, just knock on doors and encourage them to come. So we went all around the neighborhood, knocked on doors. It was a wipeout, amazing fun time. We got to an apartment complex. Todd's like walking up, knocking on doors. I'm on another level. We're knocking on doors. The Lord showed us what's wrong with people when they open the door in their bodies. So there's people in the balconies that had got touched and healed, and they're screaming to other balconies. You need these guys to pray for you. Oh my goodness. You know how. It was just classic. So that was that first night. We just went around all over the community. The second night, the park was full. It was amazing. And people appreciated our hearts, and people had already gotten touched through words of knowledge and when we knocked on doors the night before. So without us asking, well, we put a big sign up. Listen, we're here to just love you. If you do have needs, please know we're here to pray for you. We're not here to push you. We just wrote this real non-threatening awareness sign to them. And people started asking for prayer. They went down to the woman's shelter and escorted them ladies up the street and said, would you pray for these girls? A lady had scoliosis and her back went, and she freaked out. And God just moved. They walked 6 or 7 blocks to grab a family with a little boy and get him to the park. It was just fun. Todd, he's over with the skaters. And these kids are skating and they're hanging out. He says, hey, man. And he starts talking to this kid about injuries and skating. And he said he was born, his leg was messed up, and his leg changed right in front of this kid. But the guy was saying to Todd, he was cursing like crazy, man. He was like, well, I'm giving you all this blanking time, man. Something better blanking happen. My body better blink and change. This better work, man. Because I'm blanking tired of you just telling me all this and then nothing going to happen. And I'm going to be blanking blanked. I mean, it was bad. And Todd's just Todd. He's just like, well, come on, man. Well, let's go for it. And all these kids around. There was this young black tall kid. He had this real tall afro. And I just remember it. I mean, his afro was longer than his head. You don't see that on kids much anymore. They go. It was just, he stood out. And he's looking. He was a cool kid. He's like, he's got the tall afro. And the reason I remember is because the way he ran through the park. Todd prayed for this kid. And this kid goes, his leg changed. And he goes, oh, what are you doing, man? What are you doing to me? And this black kid goes, no, no way. I'm not kidding. Going. Fear and trembling. Going. And I'm like, whoa. So all these kids are quiet now. And Todd's just so good in those situations. He's just good. He just said, so what do you say about that, guys? He's like, there wasn't one of you believing. There's one, not one of you. Not one of you even thinking of God today. Not even believing in God, but he's thinking of you. And here you are cursing every other word. And God is so humble to consider the earth. He came and fixed your leg in spite of you because he loves you beyond what you understand. And these kids are like, will you pray for us? Todd's like, yeah, fire of God. No. So we're talking and they're praying and Todd's loving all these kids. All this is going on. The park is packed full.
I look over and here comes the tall Afro kid. He's just walking like this. He's coming back. But he looks disoriented. I walked over and I said, "Hey, I'm glad you came back. Are you okay? What's going on?" He just looked at me distraught and said, "What just happened there?" He was so overwhelmed because God became real in a moment to his heart. Cried, prayed, wanted Jesus. Just fun stuff. But I'm telling you, before we went around and talked to the people, I learned a lot that night. Before we talked to the people about why we were there, they preconceived why we were there. They stereotyped our motive because we've sent that motive much. I tell a story all the time. We took a team down on the streets to hand out tracts because it sounds Christian. And we called it Win the City or Storm the City. We did it like once a year. You get in the parking lot, you rally 35 people or so that want to go. And some are new and we call them trainees and the others are experienced. They've gone before. And we all grab hands and shake. And we're going for it, right? So we get down there and everybody's got their tracks. And these ladies are zealous tonight, man. It's outreach. They run across the street. "Hey, sir." Another precious black man walking down the street. God was living in him. God spoke through him. Messed me up forever. These girls went over and said, "Hey, did you hear the good news?" And they're handing him a tract. They're so sincere. "Jesus loves you." He said, "Well, thanks, ladies. Honestly, I know that and believe that. The thing is, I don't believe you do. I actually believe you're a church group. And you're down here making yourself feel good about what you say you are. And you're probably doing an outreach maybe once or twice a year, and this is your night." He said, "No, I honestly believe Jesus loves me. Thanks. I think you guys need to get a grip." And I said, "Back to the cars." And the two ladies said, "Pastor, you're not leaving. Don't you let that hard-hearted man talk us out of these streets." I said, "Hard-hearted man, that was the clearest I've heard Jesus in weeks. Let's go back to the church." He was so right. It was ridiculous. I started to seek God on it a little bit, and I started to realize that almost all the time, and it's not wrong to do intentional ministry and organized ministry, but almost all the time, that's what we do. And in that, I saw this false sense of boldness, false sense of caring, false sense of a lot of things. You wear the jacket in the moment, and because that's what we're doing, that's what you become in that moment. Here's what the man said. I didn't actually tell the story as clear as I remember he said it. Here's what he said. He said, "Girls, I think you need to get a grip." He said, "Here's my question for you. Watch. When's the last time, apart from your church group, you told anyone Jesus loves you? And when's the last time you handed out a tract apart from your Thursday night?" Now that's a big deal. And he revealed that this isn't who we were. This is what we were doing. And it was making us feel Christian and assertive. Are you guys all right? So it seems Christian and it seems ministry and it seems evangelistic, but it wasn't love. Becoming love is a big deal. Becoming love will just show you the value of people all the time. Love itself is evangelistic. You don't have to try to be evangelistic. You don't have to try to touch people when you become love. You say, "Man, you keep talking about becoming love. How do I do that?" You get alone with Jesus and you tell him you're ready and you're willing. And one thing you've got to do is be a big yes to love. People say, "Well, why wouldn't I want to be a yes?" There's a lot of people that don't want to become love. They want to hold on to what they became through Adam and what they're used to and what they think is normal.
They hold on to their rights. They hold on to the right to be frustrated if you cross the line. They have unspoken chips on their shoulder that can be knocked off. There's a lot of people in a room this size that aren't saying yes to love normally when I'm in rooms. I'm not saying it's you. Don't let it be you. This is why I'm talking like this. They already analyze and say, well, you're telling me I'm supposed to. Well, I ain't going to be no pushover. Nobody's going to make me a doormat. Jesus was not a doormat. He was the living epistle of love. He was love expressed and revealed. And when I see him, I see the Father. And he hung there and didn't deserve to and didn't even say a word. That speaks to me. They released Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He started conspiracy. Jesus raised the dead and brought peace between God and man. I understand. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. He was talking about what would happen with believers and people that didn't believe within a home and all that stuff. So don't call me on that one. I know that scripture. But he came to make peace between God and man. Would you agree? And he raised the dead and came to bring life. Barabbas murdered and caused ruckus. And they released him and said, crucify Jesus. That would be offensive if you weren't love. And the biggest mistake we make when we look at Jesus, when we don't realize we make it, we say, well, that was Jesus. No, that was love. I've got to read this. It's really in my heart. Because everything the enemy wants to stop in your life, he's not after you. I said it this morning. It's a demonic war against the kingdom of God. If you take adversity personal and internalize it, you're going to miss the point and make a mistake. You seek first the kingdom of God. It's all about the kingdom. You don't take adversity personal. The enemy is out to stop the kingdom of God in men. Because we have this great birthright to house him, the Lord, and manifest him. We have this great inherited privilege through our created value and God's unfailing love to like live in him and him in us. Like that's why we're here. Anything else is life outside of purpose. That's why it's so tough. When you don't wake up and pursue his image and pursue love, no wonder life is tough. You're living apart what you're here for. You're living outside of purpose. Why would there be grace to empower what you're not created to be? I promise you, I'm so emphatic about this. If we miss becoming love, we've missed the point. You say, well, at least my name's in the book, brother. There's people out there praying for Jesus to come back because they can't take any more. And you're saying, well, I prayed that prayer. I'm ready to get out of here. So what are you saying? To heaven with me, to hell with everybody else. I didn't just swear. In other words, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Whatever's waiting for anybody else, don't matter to me. I'm in. Come and get me. That's a little self-serving, huh? I am so not in a hurry. I actually want to live so long. I actually believe I'm going to live a really long time. I feel great. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to go anytime soon. I told my granddaughter, when you feel like you're getting old, you better look over your shoulder because grandpa's going to be there. She believes it. I was 48 and still had my grandpa. Mm-hmm. I told her, you're going to be in your 50s. I'm going to be hanging around. I'm not in a hurry. I'm writing legacy. I'm imparting into hearts. I'm seeing the fruit of the kingdom. And in this he's well pleased that you bear much fruit. I understand to be with him is better and all that. But I am with him, not maybe like it's going to be. I'm not sure. I can't relate to that. I just know it's really good now. So I don't have this other motivation because I can't relate to what it's going to be. So it's like that we don't understand. We don't know. But we know one thing: when he comes, we'll be like him. But I know what it's like now, and I'm good with that. And I'm ready to run with that for a long time. I am not in a hurry. There are so many people not ready to stand before him. There's so many people that didn't write a legacy. There's so many people that won't have a testimony that speaks for eternity on behalf of the king. The last thing you want is to stand there and look into his fiery eyes of love and go, oops. You know, Lord, like, I'd have really believed you if it wasn't for my spouse. I mean, like, why didn't you change them all the times I prayed? You won't even be able to think that. You're just going to go, bummer. He's amazing, and I didn't believe. See, because everything you hear me preaching is what could frustrate a person that's not ready for change. Because it puts you in a corner. It boxes you so in this word, there's no way out. Like, it puts you before the Lord and determines if you're a believer, if you're going to believe the truth or believe other things. If you're going to believe him and what he accomplished, or your feelings, emotions, and actions of others. You got to decide, is my circumstances going to fashion me, or is the truth that sets me free going to be my foundation? Come on. I love that kind of message. I love the fact that if I go in my bedroom, there's really not a lot of options. I'm either out of my mind, wasting my time, and God's not real, and I ought to get a hobby. Or he's there, and I'm going to get to know him. It's one or the other. I like those odds. I like that I don't have five choices of what it might be. He's either there or he's not. He either is or he isn't. And if any man, Hebrews 11, comes to God, he must first believe that he is. So you walk in the bedroom as if he's in there. You see, but I don't feel him, but it feels so far away, but it doesn't seem real. Live by faith for a day and watch what happens on the inside of you. Just turn this thing off and open this thing up and say, you know what? You've got to love me or you'd have never sent your son. Not, well, if he loved me, how come? Ah, no. He has to love me. I'm going to take you a little farther. He has to value me or he wouldn't have paid such a high, amazing price. God put himself inside a woman and was born of flesh. He must think a lot of our potential and what comes out of this. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to do nothing but good and they weren't going to see it and kill him anyway. And he came anyway. We must think a lot of who he created us to be. He must think a lot of what you look like when he's in you and you're surrendered. He must think that's valuable. He must really want to live inside of us. Yeah. I drive in my car. And you know how you check your mirrors and you just make sure things are safe. And I'm on highways all the time. And I'll glance in the rearview mirror and I'll catch my own eyes in there sometimes. And I'll go, oh, I see you. And the Spirit of the Lord comes in my little Toyota truck. You don't know how he does it, but he fits in there. Oh, man. Now, see? If I see who said what and who didn't say what and what happened 2 years ago and then 10 years back and look at,
Come on, what do you see when you look in your eyes? I see how he sees me through his son. And I see what he's doing inside of me because I live with me. And I don't allow secrets in my life and I keep my conscience clear. Not because I'm legalistic and into works, because I honor him and love him because he first loved me. And if I love him, I obey him. I don't obey him to prove I love him. Are you guys all right or am I too whacked right now? I'm not sure what's wrong. I'm hanging in the wrong side. Coming over here. Coming over here. So we got to become love. We can't love our own lives. We can't make it all about us and survival. I've been saying it all weekend. Don't think I'm a broken record. We got to say it and say it and say it till it's in you. Don't say, Dan, I've heard that before. How about becoming that? You say, well, I heard that message. You don't know the word till you become the word. I don't care if you can quote it verbatim and cut me off in the middle of preaching. If you don't become the word, you don't know it. You can just quote it. What's it matter if you can talk about Jesus all day? People need to see him, not hear about him. Or you'll just be a great debater at the lunch table at work and you'll feel like you're changing your workplace. But when they see you frustrated and the same as them, they'll realize you just have a doctrine and you just have a belief that saves you in the end. But really, when it boils down to it, they don't see you any different than them. That's not cool. I'm not being mean. The Bible says you, therefore, in Philippians 2. He actually says to have this same mind in you in verse 5 that was also in Christ Jesus. So he's going to let us into the mind of Jesus and teach us what made him tick and took him to the cross. Who made himself of no reputation. He didn't think it was robbery to be called equal with God, but he didn't feel like he needed to be acknowledged as equal with God. So he laid down his reputation and laid down his glory and made himself of no reputation. Be honest, we have sought reputation mostly in some level our whole life. We want to be acknowledged. We want to be esteemed. We want to be noticed. We want to be recognized. We're searching for value. We're searching for appreciation. We're searching for that stuff. People want prestige. You can get so trapped in that thing in ministry. You just want a big ministry. You just want to be loved. You just want to promote everything God's ever done through you so people acknowledge you. So they run to you. So they need you. It's not the goal. Made himself of no reputation. Took on the likeness of a bondservant and was obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. Therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name. And at the mention of his name, everything in heaven, the earth, and under the earth would bow, and every tongue would confess that he is Lord. Watch what it says. So you, therefore. Ah! He's given Jesus the highest praise. He just honors Jesus. I got the whole thing rainbow in my scriptures, like in my Bible. It's just all rainbow. I color code my Bible. I'm a big kid. I got colors for everything, man. And when I read my Bible is so pretty. It's beautiful. My Bible is beautiful. It all means something. I can just page through and read all the green and it's just all the love of God. I can just page through my Bible and read all the blue and it's all the working of the Spirit and the moving of His Holy Spirit. I can just page through and read all the red, and it's all the work of the blood and the redemption of the cross. It's just good. My Bible rocks, man. You know what I've done?
I've marked them, prayed and been with Jesus, and then they get all full and marked and notes everywhere, and the colors mean something. I have the color code right in the front like a little kid, little boxes. And then I find a new believer, and God says, give it to him. And I say, here. Really? The first one I gave away was to a 9-year-old girl that just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the front row, sat there and just prayed so sweet in tongues and just so beautiful. And I said, here. And the moms are amazing. She said, you're giving her the Bible? I said, yeah, honey. Moms or something. I saw him a couple months later. She said, Dan, you gave her that Bible. That was so God. I said, yeah, I felt him tell me in my heart to give it to her. She said, no, you don't understand. That little girl is 9 years old. She was there with her, and she said, look at that Bible. I looked, and on the front cover, she had little stickies. You put little letter stickies. She put Pastor Dan's Bible to me on the front cover in stickies. Pastor Dan's Bible to me. She said every day for all those couple months, 3 months, she ran in from school, grabbed the Bible, and curled up on the recliner. And sat there for as much as 3 hours every day. And just kept reading and turning to the front, to the color code. Reading, turning to the 9 years old. Wow. Don't ask me for my Bible. I will not give it to you. I'm just telling. This one, I gave my last one away. Not long ago, this one isn't even, like, it's not even totally colored. Don't ask me for my Bible. Yo, my Bible's pretty. You, therefore. See how we go right back to where we were? Only Jesus can do that. I should probably be distracted by now. All the stories within stories. I just love it. It just fascinates me. Just go right back. Boop. Like we never skipped. Ah, I'm fascinated by that. He exalts Jesus, name above every name. And as soon as he's finished, he says, you therefore. That tells me he never sees us apart from him. That there's such a connection that his whole purpose is to bring us in. He raises from the dead in Matthew. He says, the end of the chapter, like 28, it's the last chapter. He says, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. I think he's pretty fired up. I don't think he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I want you guys. Man, death was just hammered. Like one spirit, Holy Spirit, went into the realm of darkness. There was no fight. I think we see too many war movies and play too many video games. It's like Holy Spirit walks into the realm of death, lights up the place, everything bows, and he takes Jesus. He's not like, Michael, Gabriel, you got the left wing, come in from the south. Now listen, if they come in a little hard on the right, I need you guys to come in. And it's just weird, man. One spirit, read your Bible. Holy Spirit. According even to the spirit of holiness. So Jesus never sinned. He was made to be sin. His blood's pure. He's holy. Satan killed an innocent man that stood on behalf of all men. And he's a high priest forever. And we have access to God through his blood. Ah. The blood forgives the act of sin committed. The body removes the penalty incurred. You eat of the flesh, you drink of the blood, and receive life.
They're so good. All authority. He says this, all authority, just raised from the dead. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore. Immediately. Go therefore. What? These guys didn't even get nothing right yet. They ran and were afraid to die, and they've been hovering in unbelief, afraid of the Jews. You're going to send them to win the world? Go, therefore. What's he saying? You live off the revelation of who I am. Everything else is forgotten and removed in me. Now you rise up and be what I imparted. Go, tell the world. All authority in heaven and earth. He rules his kingdom with the scepter of righteousness. What's your name?
Joel.
So Joel comes and bows before the king, and he knights him and says, go therefore, boom, righteous in my sight, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them. He's talking to Peter, James, and John and them guys. Teaching them. Who? The people you talk to. Teaching them to obey everything I taught you. People are notorious for saying, well, he was talking to the disciples. Yeah, and through them he's talking to me. If he told them to whatever city you go into, preach the kingdom of God is here, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the kid. If he's talking to Peter, James, and John, guess who he's talking to? Because if he told them to do that, he said, go tell them to obey everything I told you. Well, that was a commission for the disciples. And when they died, that all stopped. Really? Oops. You therefore, I'm back to Philippians 2, name above every name. You therefore work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you. Who's working in you? Why? Both to will and do for his good pleasure. See how much you're not saved for you? See how much you're not saved for just a better day? You're saved to shine as a light and to make his name known. Right? Watch. It's God who both he wills to, or works his will in you, right? It's his good pleasure, right? And then he says, so do all things. How many?
All
things without grumbling and complaining. Ah! How many things?
All.
Why? So you're seen as innocent, means harmless, children in the midst of a perverse world that doesn't think like you're thinking. Do all things without grumbling and complaining, so they see you for who he is. And it pulls them out, confronts them, or convicts them of the mind they live in. Watch this. So you're seen as innocent children in the midst of a perverse generation whom you, shining forth as a light, hold forth the word of life. Oh, it's there. Philippians 2. I was not even a year old and the Lord said, I want you to read Philippians 2 and don't read anywhere else in your Bible till I tell you. I said, really? Yes. I said, okay. When he told me that, he said, don't open a psalm, don't open anything, just read Philippians 2. I'm like, whoa. So I read Philippians 2. You have to understand, in that season when he told me that, I was reading my Bible no less than 5 times a day. I woke up in the morning, read my Bible, couldn't wait to just meet with him, yay God. I went to work, break, lunch, break, came back home before bed. That's 5, no less. After one day, you just read Philippians 2 5 times. On the second day, you're like, I guess I'm going to Philippians 2. On the third day, you're at 15 times. And I'm thinking, every time I go to read my Bible, I'm like pausing and hesitating, wondering if I'm going to hear God say, you can read wherever you want. But he never says nothing, so guess what I'm supposed to read? So when I hesitated, you know what the Lord spoke to my heart? He said, Dan, I won't want you to read this to memorize it and to quote it. I want you to read it to become it. And as you read it, you muse in it, you meditate, you speak out what it's saying to your heart. You look to me and he started to teach me how to read the word and commune with him through his word. 13 weeks later, I was so excited, not because I could finally get out of Philippians 2. I opened my Bible and he said, hey, I want you to read Philippians 3 today. And I said, woo. Put my little tassel over. Turn the page, baby. What was he telling me? You've become that chapter. Now this one's going to really come alive. It changed me. I didn't read it to quote it. I didn't read it to qualify. I already am. Didn't read it to be accepted. I already am. Didn't read it from my own conscience. It's already clear. I read it to know him and to become what he said. And you know what I speak from? That truth. That's why I'm way off notes. I don't have notes. I'm way off. If I had them, I'd miss it horribly. I'd just be way over here. You go work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. Because it's God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. And therefore, because this is true, in light of this, do all things. Now, see how much your life matters to others? See how much it's not cool to have issues and let other things stumble that truth? When you're God's roster, you're the light that's in the world. Come on, you're not followers because you're sitting out there and I'm standing here. You're leaders in the sense of light. Light is greater than darkness. Leadership, the ability to influence. Light is greater than darkness. Walk in the light as he's in the light. So men see your life live, good works, glorify the Father. Scripture. It's amazing. What a privilege. We're going to do it. Amen? Come on, it sure beats issues. Do you honestly think I believe what I'm passionately crying out to you for the last three sessions like a maniac? And I'm going to let something you say or don't say bother me? Do you actually believe that tomorrow I'm going to be like, people issues? Are you kidding me? Not today or tomorrow, friend. The next day won't even be the right day. It's not going to happen. Because I was once blind. But now I see. And there's points in your life you'll find that are of no return. He'll cross you across lines into things. Where he empowers you to see. And what you see, you become. That's how it works. I'm sorry, I got to read this. And wow, we still got to talk a little about healing. Don't leave on me. Don't get done before me. No. Well, I'll do my best to be timely as best I can. Matthew 24, I want you to see this. This is amazing to me. This came on my heart. And I'm not teasing and I'm not holding off here and I'm not trying to be silly. Matthew 25 talks about the sheep and the goats. You guys know that? The only difference between those two groups, the only difference, it wasn't that one group prayed a prayer and the other one didn't. The only difference between the two groups, the one group loved people and the others thought of themselves and passed by people. It's not condemning, guys. It sobers you. It makes you think of what this is really all about. Jesus called them sheep, his own. Good shepherd, sheep, right? You're my sheep. He said, when I was thirsty,
you gave me a drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came. When I was sick, you visited me. And they said, when did we see you thirsty and naked, hungry, sick, and in prison? But for as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And then he turns to this other group and he says, when I was all those things, what's he saying? Those needs are all around you in people's lives. And you failed to recognize it and walked right on by. And you might have sang hallelujah and holy is the Lamb the whole time. I'm not saying it to theologically scramble things and get you insecure and I wonder if I'm saved. The whole point of salvation is becoming love and loving one another. It's the whole point. Are you guys okay? Are you sure? Okay. Because I could just wrap this up, but I feel like I need to throw some more out there here or something. Look, we don't. Parents, don't you get an ounce condemned by this. Learn from this and put it behind you. But if we're just struggling to get to a church service and we have animosity in the car and we're running late and I thought you were getting the kids ready. Well, I thought you were getting the kids ready. And all of a sudden, we're just fighting to get to a service. Frustrated at each other. We get the kids to children's church late again, sat in the record. And you finally whisk them off to church and you get to your seat and you sit your stuff down and... What are we doing? Watch this. Christianity, don't anybody hear what I'm not saying? I believe church attendance is important. I believe it's important to gather yourselves together as believers. I believe it's important to find a people that are focused and on page so you can cheer each other on and stay sharp. It's just Bible. A lot of people have been hurt by misuse, control, this and that, so they threw the whole church thing away and they fail to gather themselves together. But you just be careful where your heart is and all that stuff. Maybe some settings need sincere love there. Maybe you don't go to church to be loved. Maybe you go to church to love. Maybe you don't leave a church and say, well, it's not loving. It should have been. You were there. Do you see how we're always looking outside ourselves to something else? Well, what about your love? Christianity is Christ-likeness. If you take your children to church and don't pursue Christ-likeness outside of church, all you're teaching your kids is Christianity's church attendance without even realizing it. You sure you're okay?
Yeah.
This is healthy stuff, man. I don't want to go to church and sing Holy is the Lamb and have a genuine animosity experience in the car over where we're going to eat afterward. And why do you always get to choose? And I never get to pick. And how come I... We just call that normal. But in the long run, it hurts each other. Those things mount up and build and steal away things. They lay over the heart, and then we need all this ministry and freedom. I think we probably ought to just live in truth. That's where you'll find freedom. Who cares where you eat, man? You ought to be thankful there's food everywhere.
Come on.
I'm serious. Thankfulness is a gift and beauty. The reason the Bible focuses on thankfulness so much, because when you fail to be thankful, you've turned inward. And it's all about you and what you're not happy with. And when you're thankful, you can't see that stuff. Okay, I've thrown enough of that stuff out there. This is amazing right here. He says in verse 9, he's talking about the end and signs and all that stuff. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing theologically. I just want to read this one little section because it's so astounding. He says, then they will deliver, he's talking to the disciples right now, and he says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, right? And you will be hated by all nations for my namesake. That's pretty heavy language. And then many, it's like, are you sure I'm on the right team? And then many, watch, this is amazing, the order of this, then many will be what? Offended or caused to stumble. Betray one another and hate one another. How many? Many. That's not some. You look it up. Many, many. It means a pretty good number of folks. Now watch. Look at the order. Then false voices, false prophets, false voices will rise up and deceive many. Why? Because there's offense everywhere and bitterness and betrayal and unforgiveness and hate. Good time to be deceived. And hear through a screen. And right when men are offended, voices come to lead and guide and direct. But they're not God. Right when they're offended. Gah! Now watch. Whoa. And because lawlessness will abound. We better get our eyes off of people and lawlessness and the things that aren't right. Better get our eyes on truth, and true righteousness, love and mercy, and true justice. I say back home, meaning in America, I say, man, guys, I've cried from the pulpit and said, man, guys, if there's some kind of persecution outbreak and Christians start dying for their faith or some unjust things start breaking out, I hope we're more prepared to do something than picket. You don't stand at a homosexual festival with signs, God hates fags. What a horrible, horrible misrepresentation of the Christian church. Horrible misrepresentation. And I've seen those signs, and they break my heart. Well, do you agree with homosexuality? I didn't say that. I disagree with our approach. It's the goodness of God that leads men to change. I never found a scripture that says the reprimand of God leads men to change. We think the goodness is an enabler. The goodness is a transformer. When you give men what they know they don't deserve, it does something on the inside. And because lawlessness will abound, not might, will abound, the love of many will grow cold. He says in another place, men will come and say, but Lord, Lord. And I'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, etc. And I read these things and I realized they're in prophetic form. It says will and many and I cried. I cried so hard in my bedroom because I got thinking analytical. And I said, God, what's the use? Doesn't matter how much I preach. Doesn't matter how many mission trips we go on. It doesn't matter how many are going to be offended. Many are going to be hurt. Many are going to be, what's it matter? I'm so discouraged. I'm crying. I don't understand. You got to help me. And I'm in my bedroom having a fit that I not normally have. It was the way I saw it. I said, they're red letters. This isn't a good thought. And I cried. And the Lord said, that's the very reason you do all those things. And do it with all your heart. And all your love and all your diligence. He said, so the many isn't many. He's so wise. Because one's too many. Wow.
why bother, Lord? If many are going to be, many are going to come, and many are going to.
It's the very reason so many isn't many. Oh, I just stood there and cried. I said, you are so wise.
Because lawlessness will abound, the love of will grow cold. What happens? You get your eyes on lawlessness and what's not right. It starts deciding your heart and you become a product of what you're fixed on. And you start finding the same thing that you're bitter towards in your own heart. Let me ask you this. What's the goal of lawlessness in that chapter? And that's, what's the goal of lawlessness? What's the goal of all this chaos? What's the target? Love. It's not bent on giving you a bad day. It's out to steal love away from God's people and leave us content doing godly looking things. Look, you can have Christian ringtone, screensaver, bumper sticker, t-shirt, and play Christian music all day and not even seek him. And let the things you do that look Christian decide you Christian. And let them all take the place of knowing him. But knowing him is becoming love. But he who endures. That means to hold one's ground in conflict, to bear up against adversity, to hold on under stress and to stand firm, to preserve under pressure, to wait calmly and courageously. I got this cool Bible. It has the Strong's right there. It's just good. It's not a passive resignation to fate and mere patience, but the active, energetic resistance to defeat that allows calm and brave endurance. Isn't that good? He who endures till the end shall be saved. What's saved mean? Healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, kept safe and sound. Why? Because your eyes aren't on lawlessness. Your eyes are on calling and purpose and manifesting. I've watched people in political races, leaders, get so hard and bitter at the news and the political stuff that they let a running president decide their disposition. They read a newspaper and get totally ticked and talk about the article for 3 days. That's not cool. You are a sitting duck. It's not cool. If that thing makes you that way, you probably ought to look at it and come from a different place and say, wow, God, we need your mercy. Look, if a gang shows up here in the NAMO and starts writing on walls and hanging sneakers on lines and all of a sudden it's all the signs of a new gang that moved into town, God forbid all we do is intercede and ask God to run them out of town. They'll just go to somebody else and just say, well, at least they're not here. You got to have love for people to intercede effectively. You got to have love for your city to intercede effectively. Faith works through love. Are you guys with me? So this whole thing, man, is about becoming love. Never letting sin against you produce sin in you. 1 Peter 2 says, if you suffer for doing wrong and take it patiently, it's verse 20, it's there. You suffer for doing wrong and take it patiently, what credit is that to you? But if you suffer for doing good, now that's commendable before God. For Christ suffered in the same manner, leaving us an example, scripture, that you should follow his footsteps. Before it says that, it says, for you were called to this. Everybody wants to know their calling. I'll tell you your calling. Read 1 Peter 2. You were called to suffer for doing good. And not everybody seeing your motive and your purpose. And not everybody appreciating your gesture. Why do you let how men interpret your good decide your ongoing good? That would have a string attached. It's conditional. I'll only do it if they appreciate it. Well, I ain't doing it no more. Nobody. You can serve in a ministry for accolade, reputation, and acceptance, guys, and get hurt in a church serving in a ministry double time. Why? Because you're trying to get recognized. You serve because of love. I've seen so many people serve in ministries and get hurt and never come back to their church because people didn't give them what they felt they deserved. That means they didn't serve from the right place. They were looking for acceptance, appreciation, and accolade. It's such a twisted thing. Like if I need you to say thank you to me, it's not healthy when you do, even though you're not wrong saying thank you. But for me, it's feeding a sickness. If I need her thank you, it's not even healthy. Because if she fails to thank me, then I wonder if people appreciate me. And I went out of my way and I laid down my life. And do they know how many hours I put in? How much time I spent on that phone? Do people even understand? Well, people don't even appreciate my effort and my labor. And if they don't appreciate me, then I'm not going out of my way and laying down my life for a bunch of people that don't even appreciate what I'm willing to do for them. Weird. Really weird. All of a sudden you're saying, pastoring would be awesome if it wasn't for the people. Okay. How's that church going to fly? We need to stop. We're just going to stop. We'll shift the gear. We're going to pray for the sick. And I'm not going to teach really long here, actually. We're just going to pray for the sick because it's late. It might not be late to you. It just feels late to me for you. That's all. Because you can see I'm not really that tired. That doesn't happen often. I mean, if I was in a boat in a storm, I'd probably sleep. That was good. Yay. I like that. Write that down. Pass that on to me. I'm going to preach that again. That'll preach. I'm really thankful to be here. Thanks for letting me come. Seriously, I'm not getting weird on yet. These three sessions flew by to me. They don't feel like, it feels like I didn't even scratch still the things on my heart. I feel like I'm mandated by God to cry this thing out like John in the wilderness and make sure that you understand the reason God sent his son wasn't for your well-being or blessing. It was to transform you back into his image, period. And everything along the way is a kiss on the cheek and just God's nature manifested. He actually said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but in me you'll have peace. So be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Well, Lord, if you overcame the world, why do I have tribulation? He's not talking about it going away. He's talking about you seeing it different. He overcame the world. The light of the world has come. And he has changed the way we think. Doesn't the Bible say don't be conformed to the world, but transformed how? By the renewing of your, so you can prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. The Bible talks in Ephesians 4 to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Yeah? What's he telling us? The way we were thinking was not the truth. And we were alienated and enemies by the twisted, wicked way our minds worked. Thinking for yourself is not cool. Just thinking for gain, provision, reputation is not cool. And he wants to change it. Yeah? So you let the word do that and you let Jesus' life do that. I have this strong thing in my life, these strong barometers. Like if I can't see it in Jesus' life, I don't ever want it in mine. If I can't find it in him, it has no permission to dwell in me. And I'm my best accountability partner. I don't need you calling me in the morning making sure I'm okay. I am my best accountability partner. You ought to be your own too.
If you need somebody to keep you straight every day, you probably ought to kneel and get right with God and get born again. I understand certain addictions and things need some accountability and people to walk you through, but make sure your heart's sincere in your tears and you really want change. That's how you'll change. I'm serious. We do this accountability thing. Some of this stuff scares me, man. What? I just need you to call me. Well, nobody held me accountable. You're probably a good first choice. When are you going to be a good steward of the truth and the word and study and show yourself approved and walk in a manner worthy of him? Yeah? Okay. Now I'm done. No, we're going to pray for the sick. And if I go anywhere else, somebody be bold and say, stop, go back to the sick. I will see how bold you are. Because it'll probably happen. No. We're going to pray for the sick right now, okay? There's a couple things I want you to know. I won't teach you on healing like I was going to. We don't have time. Do you see how I mandated? I stayed on that topic the whole time. It just feels right. The number one reason that I found that Christians don't step out boldly to pray for the sick is because they're afraid nothing will happen. So when that's your valid concern and fear and it keeps you from praying for the sick, guess what you automatically have? The very thing you're afraid of. So you lose by default. So even though they were the army of Israel and even though they were the children of God, because they didn't face Goliath, they lost for like 40 days. Because nobody came out of the tent. Even though God was with them, God was for them, they were called, they had the anointing. You guys with me on this? When we believe wrong things, you automatically lose by default. When you're afraid to pray for the sick because nothing will happen and don't pray for the sick, you have what you fear. It's not about you not getting anything in return. It's not about what doesn't happen. It's about you stepping out in faith and loving and starting to activate your heart in a true sense of care and concern for others, believing God has something to say about it. The second thing that I've noticed, and God's had me teach a lot over the years, is that faith is not a point in time. It's not, well, maybe God, let's pray, maybe he will. And if he doesn't, oh, well, but we won't know unless we pray. Let's pray. So we look at the outcome and decide if he did or he didn't. And we turn faith into that moment. So faith ultimately becomes a hit, miss, win or lose. Instead of the position of your heart to believe what he accomplished. And faith works through. How many people have gotten prayed for and nothing changed? And then the first thing they do analytically is question God's love. Well, if God loves me, how come? Well, why have I been prayed for so many times? And then this quandary kicks and disposition's lost. And all of a sudden it's a striving and a struggling. And we're waiting for that moment. And the whole time we're shipwrecked in fellowship, foundation, and understanding. Right, is anybody making sense of what I'm saying? So we've seen all this, guys. How many people have seen what I'm talking about? You go to pray for somebody and it's not working. And you pray and it's not working. And you pray and it's not working. Meaning their hand. And if you're not careful, if you don't understand faith, if you don't get a grip on this. You'll run from those situations because once you pray and it doesn't change, it's like you're in now. You're trapped. You're over your head. Where do we go now? What do I say? They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be hurt. God, you need to move. And all of a sudden this war's going on the whole time you're praying because it's a Christian thing to do, but it's from all the wrong places because of what you see or don't. Are you guys with me? Matthew 17, I'll teach it real, real fast, hyper fast. Matthew 17 is one of the most powerful chapters on healing, and it's not talked about a lot because it's the only time in the New Testament when people prayed and it didn't happen. You show me somewhere else where they prayed and it didn't happen in the New Testament. It's not even, that's not even really in the Old Testament. I'm not saying that as a quote, but I know it's not in the New. Matthew 17, his disciples prayed for an epileptic boy and he was not cured. The epileptic boy and the daddy were in this town. Jesus was on a mountain with his three disciples, Peter, James, and John. The other nine were hanging out somewhere. They were around this man. This man must have looked and said, hey, there's his disciples. Those guys went out two by two and did amazing things. Seven chapters in Matthew before, came back rejoicing, right? So if you can't find Jesus, where do you take your boy? To those guys. Do you think they hesitated? Do you think they said, oh, I don't think we should probably pray for him? They already were out two by two. Jesus already gave him authority. He already blessed him and commissioned him. He already did. In Matthew 10. Now we're in Matthew 17. He said, he saw Jesus coming. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's epileptic. You guys know this story? Falls in the fire, etc., etc. I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. Such a bummer, because we know that feeling right there. Who knows what we're talking about right now? I brought him to your guys, man. I brought him to the Christians, the little Christ-like ones, the ones that are anointed, the ones that represent you, the ones that you said, go do the stuff. I brought my boy to them, and he didn't change. Jesus said, you faithless and perverse generation. It's not a slam. Perverse means twisted. It doesn't mean crude sexual stuff. Perverse, when you see it in the Bible, in that culture, it means twisted. You twisted-minded, corrupted thinking people. What he's saying is you're so affected by the fall of man, self-consciousness, human wisdom, human reasoning, the way that seems right to man, you're failing to realize who you are now that I'm here. You faithless, perverse generation. He was attaching the faithlessness to the way they were thinking. It's not an insult. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring the boy to me. Boy, that's amazing. Was that a slam? Is he disgusted? Is he impatient? Is he intolerant? Is he saying, beam me up, Scotty, I'm done with these guys? No. He's been telling them what's going to happen. He's been telling them, I'm going to be turned over, crucified. They're going to kill me. But on the third day, I'm going to rise. He's been telling them. And he's saying, how long shall I be here? So let's just say this is some of his group. He says, guys, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Here's what he's saying. I ain't going to be here much longer. And I've imparted this thing to you for how many years now? In a little while, I'm going to be handing you the baton of the New Covenant, New Testament Church in my name. How long shall I be here and bear with you? You are going to live like this. Now watch again and watch closely. Bring the boy to me. Instantly delivered, healed, set free. He cast out the spirit, gone. True? What's their first question after it happened? Verse 19. Why couldn't we cast it out? Why couldn't we do it, Lord? Here's what he didn't say. Because you ain't got no faith. He didn't say that. Man, we rooster up on this stuff. You know why? Because with sincerity, we're praying for our loved ones. With all our heart, we're praying for our family member, for our spouse, our child, our in-laws, or somebody, man, a friend. And then somebody comes along and says, well, you just didn't believe. And all you know is all you did was do what you knew to do. Jesus is not saying, because you ain't got no faith. He said, because of your unbelief. He's going back to perverse thinking, to perverse generation. Now watch, I want to explain this out. Why couldn't we heal the boy? Because of your unbelief. I really studied that out. And it's not unfair to quote it this way. We really could get this. It literally means because of what you fail to see. Do you know how fear tends to drive us? We want to walk in the finished work of Jesus, and we still walk in a lot of fear. We're still growing in things, guys. We're still getting over ourselves. We still let people bother us. And you want to raise the dead. And people get under your skin. Get new skin and raise the dead. My wife years ago was listening to Joyce Meyer on a tape. And she says, you want authority. You want to move in the kingdom of God. And you don't even have authority over a sink full of dirty dishes. I was like, did she say that? That's like, wow. That's getting real. Because of your unbelief, because of what you fail to see. Now let me ask you this. Did Jesus ever do anything that wasn't the will of God? It's not a trick question. Did he? So he said, I only do the will of him who sent me. True? Let me ask you this. Was it the will of God to heal the boy? If his disciples had no authority or didn't have a green light, would he have talked to them the way he did? Would he have corrected anything? Or would he have just said, man, I appreciate your zeal, but guys, sometimes you just jump out of timing. You should have waited for me. God reserved this for me. Or whatever. Let me ask you this. Would God talk the way he did through Jesus in that chapter? Because I only say the things I hear him say. So when Jesus is talking, who's talking? Because when you see him, you've already seen. Come on, this is not complicated. So when Jesus says, because of your unbelief, bring the boy to me, heals him, and he says, because of your unbelief, would you agree with me that it had to be the will of God to heal the boy if Jesus did? Was he healed when his own disciples prayed? Was it the will of God? Was he healed when they prayed? Was it the will of God? Oops. How many times do we say, well, they didn't get healed. It couldn't have been the will of God. Well, it mustn't have been the will of God. You're just supposed to tarry. Maybe one day it'll come. We look at the circumstance and decide God through the physical outcome when God has already decided through the life of Jesus Christ. We say so much about healing that you never hear Jesus ever say, well, God allowed it. Well, he just put this on your life to teach you something and he's empowering you with grace. You need to endure it. Who did ever came to Jesus and he said, man, I'd love to heal you, but bummer, I can't. I know it's hurting you, but God's trying to perfect something in your life. So just walk it out, man. You'll be doing better next time I see you. Learn the lesson, bud. Learn it quick. Who did Jesus ever say, go get more faith and I'll heal you? We come to an altar and pray and nothing changes. And we say, well, they should have just believed more. You know, I did hear some fear in them. Well, they got a lot of unbelief. Who did Jesus ever talk to like that? We write books on why men aren't healed because we're trying to explain our quandary. There's books in Christian bookshelves that are up to 33 now. There used to be 30 reasons why men aren't healed. Now there's a new one out, 33. We found three more. Scary. Because if you read that in hurt and pain and quandary, and you try to find one of them to make yourself feel better over what you're troubled by, the trouble is that's at the cost of truth, and it'll put a ceiling over you. And you'll see it through that thing, and it'll limit the release of the kingdom of God, and you'll accept that as the resume, and you'll be set up for more loss, more destruction, and you'll never have the encouragement to get back in the fight, draw your sword, and believe. You don't need 30 reasons, even one out of 30, why men aren't healed. We need the one why they can be. We just got to stop fighting over this stuff and defending our pain, our loss, and our circumstances. Guys, I'm just being real. Some of us have been so hurt by this stuff that we can't even talk about it. We just hackle up and we're ready to fight. And in that, we reveal why we're probably not walking in the manifestation of Jesus. Because you're busy defending something and protecting something that probably needs to die so we can just see clear and keep growing together. Man, not everybody I'm laying hands on is jumping up saying, hallelujah, I don't have any pain. I can walk, I can see, I can hear. I've seen a lot of that in my life, but man, I haven't seen enough. But it doesn't change what's possible and what I'm going for. Why? Because I see it in his life. And if I see it in his life and he said, follow me, then I have to see it in mine. And I'm not going to draw conclusions and back off and miss the potential of what he paid for. If Jesus said, because of your unbelief, and then he's, what's your name, man? Alex. So Alex loses a friend to cancer. Alex has prayed. He's locked horns. He's believed. And he watched that guy slip away. And Alex is laying on his bed. He says, Lord, I need you to come and talk to me and minister to me and build up my heart. I'm not ever going to get angry at you. I just want to understand. I want to need to know what I'm missing, what's going on. Like, why did he die, God? What am I? Come on. And all of a sudden, Jesus just stands by Alex's bedside. And he says, Alex, it's simple. It's what you fail to see. Be real with me. Sometimes we get sentimental. We get so personal. We're just afraid of death. We're afraid of missing the person. We're just sentimental. I mean, I was around a group of people praying for a man to get raised from the dead. And they were saying, look, man, you know how much you love deer hunting. Deer hunting's coming up in a week. I got your clothes laying out and your rifle. You need to come back. You can deer hunt in a week. We're just desperate, man. We don't know how to face loss sometimes. We live in the day instead of in him. And we just got a lot to grow in. They were doing inner healing on this dead guy. They were like, he won't come back because he's afraid. I see a little boy hiding. And I'm like, it was the closest I ever came to losing it with people. It's a long time ago. I've grown a lot, but I was really close to clearing the room and saying, guys, stop. But it reveals a sentiment in us, a weakness in us. We have a hard time facing loss. We see it as final. We don't have a bigger vision than death sometimes. So then we're moved by death, and our motive is the fear of death, not the promise of life. Sometimes we're just self-conscious. We're just trying to pray hard and pray right and get results. This is the next thing God taught me to teach. And then I'm going to go back to Alex. I didn't forget you. We didn't leave you hanging, buddy. Nope, Jesus is standing in front of your bed. Let's just go right back there. I can't leave Jesus hanging. And then I'll tell you the thing that Jesus taught me. And then we are going to pray for the sick. At some point, we will. I'm a teacher, man. We got to get this stuff. Healings are great. Understanding is greater. People come up front, they want ministry. I barely just jump in and pray for you. I talk to you, counsel you. You noticed that if you came to me this week. I say, well, listen, really. Sometimes I say, you know, that's not a prayer issue. That's a truth issue. I say, you don't mean ministry. Ministry's not going to make you free. Truth will. You're believing wrong. I could pray for you. You'll feel a sense of peace. But if you don't change the way you're thinking, in about a week, you'll be at the altar again and you'll need that feeling again. It's redundant. It's not good. We're always believing we have to be broken. We're always having altar calls to fix our broken hearts. Why aren't we teaching why we don't have to be broken? So Jesus is standing in front of Alex's bed because he's crying out to God, and God's merciful. And he comes and he says, Alex, it's just what you fail to see. That's the answer to the disciples' questions. It's because of your unbelief. It's what you fail to see. But watch what he says. He's so encouraging. He's so amazing. He doesn't say, well, Alex, you should know better. I gave you the authority and the anointing. Why? That's what we do to ourselves sometimes because it hurts when we lose loved ones. Yeah? He says, it's because of what you fail to see. But truly, I tell you this. Alex, if you see what I see, you will do what I do. And Alex, nothing will be impossible for you. That's New Testament. Argue all you want. It's there. Diminish him to your natural knowledge. Diminish him to your frustration if you choose. But I'm inviting you into believing him through his word. Because if he said that to them, he's saying that to me and to you. Truly, I tell you this. If you believe as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move. And the mountain will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. That's in your Bible. You find me limitation in that, except the yell buts we conjure. However, this kind, what kind? He's not talking about the epilepsy. The whole chapter's talking about the way men think and don't see and the perverse thinking. He's talking about unbelief. So he says, Alex, however, I gave you this unhinged promise and I know it's amazing and it's stirring your heart. But Alex, this kind of thinking, this kind of sentiment and just not wanting your friend to die and trying to pray harder and thinking that works and doing this and waving another flag and blowing a different tune on the shofar. No. Alex, this kind of thinking, wrong thinking, this kind of failing to see will never come out of your life. Except by prayer and fasting, continuing to stay in the presence of the Father so who the Father is becomes who you are on the inside. So that humbles me. That tells me I'm growing. I've seen phenomenal miracles in my life. I don't talk about them much anymore because everybody comes to you for prayer and makes you the answer instead of the truth I'm trying to cry out. I'm in a very precarious situation because I get invited to churches and I cry this stuff out and everybody says, okay, pray for me. So we're going to pray, and I'm not going to pray for any of you. And it's on purpose, because I'm getting on a plane tomorrow and leaving anyway. What are you going to wait till? We get a bunch of sick rounded up again and invite me back? That would be weird. The last thing I want to teach you here, and then we're going to pray. He said, to make sure I tell every time we pray for the sick that your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. It's not your prayer. So stop trying hard. You're so sincere. You're not hypocrites. We don't love seeing people hurting, guys. And somehow we get tricked into thinking that it's our prayer that heals them. And we get very self-conscious when we pray. And we try to pray right. We try to pray hard. And we try to pray that right connection. Be honest. How many in this room can relate to going to pray for the sick and you got more conscious about what you were ready to say than your faith in his love for them and what he finished through his son? Totally understand what I'm saying. If you've prayed for the sick at all. So here's what we're going to do. There's two types of things, not conditions, two types of things you'll pray for when it's concerning sickness in your life. The one we're going to do very quick, it won't be ineffective. It'll just be quick because there'll be no way to look into it. It's just faith in your heart. It's situations that you wouldn't know if you were healed. You'd need a test. You'd need to check your blood. You'd need to have an MRI. You don't have symptoms in the moment. There'd be no way to check if you were actually healed except for just simple faith in your heart and faith in the people that pray. Do you get me on this? Let's just say, even I use this example all the time. It's not a word of knowledge. It's just an example. Let's just say you've been getting a migraine once a week for the last 6 weeks, but you haven't had one yet this week. Or you had one 2 days ago, so you don't have one now. But they've been coming weekly for a long time. We wouldn't know if you were healed because there'd be no way to tell except for weeks would go by. And you would go, yay, Jesus. You get what I'm saying? So when you pray for somebody that you wouldn't know, when you meet them and they have diabetes, then it's no symptoms. There's no neuropathy. There's no failed vision. There's no nerve vessels damage. There's no, they just have diabetes and they check their blood and they take insulin and every once in a while they check their levels and they don't have anything and you're not really checking their level right then or they're in the mall. You don't know. You just pray. You just believe, guys. And you show them a sense of caring and faith and you trust that, wow, if I lay hands on the sick, they'll what? Recover. You don't get self-conscious. You don't say, wonder if they're not healed. You don't, man, I prayed for people years ago in my town and nothing changed in their body. And I'm walking around thinking they didn't get healed and trying to figure out what I did wrong. Bump into the same people a month later, a week apart, and they both tell me they got up in the morning and never had the pain again since that day. And the whole time I'm believing nothing changed. And God was like, stop turning faith into a point in time. Stop looking with your eyes and thinking with your mind. I prayed for a 9-month-old that was going to be mentally handicapped for the rest of her life, possibly. And the mother handed her to me in a healing service, and the baby's like this. And the hardest thing on the planet is to pray with all your heart sincerely because you know he's Lord. You've seen people come out of comas. You've watched a couple tumors disappear. You saw blind eyes open in your town in front of your eyes. And now you're holding this baby, and you know he's Lord. And yet that baby's still seizing and still. The hardest thing in the planet when you're sincere is handing that baby back to that woman because you know what she's going to think. And I got so sucked into it. I handed it to all the other girls that were working with me and they all did the same thing and then they gave the baby back to me. At some point, you got to give her back. Duh. So you hand her to the lady and her eyes just fill with tears. And it breaks your heart because you know what she's thinking. She's thinking, well, we tried. Well, we came. It was worth a shot. I was hoping. Come on. Is it okay if I'm really real with you? Come on, this stuff happens. And I'm standing there, and I just want to go in a corner, and I just want to cry. I'm caught up in the emotion. I'm caught up in 9 months old. I'm caught up in a baby. I'm just caught up in it. I'm supposed to know this stuff, right? I preach it. But man, am I caught up right now. I'll never forget it. I'm holding the arm, the side of the chair like this in the front aisle. And I'm watching her leave. And when she goes out the doors, we lose in my mind. And I'm standing there kicking my toe. I just remember it like this. I got 10 people standing there waiting for prayer. I don't want to pray for anybody. I just want to go cry. The Spirit of God, my best friend in my life, rose up within my heart and said, don't you be so deceived. And I said, excuse me. He said, count it an honor and a privilege you prayed for that baby in Jesus' name. And I thought, duh, looking with my eyes, thinking with my mind. She didn't change, didn't get nothing. And I turned faith into a point in time. That lady's over her head. She's over her head. She came for help. I represent Jesus. I preach this book. When I look and say, well, nothing happened, just throw it away. No, you hold on to that thing. Now, don't get offended. I didn't bruise God. He's okay. I just want to let you know God's okay. It was Wednesday when that happened. The lady that brought her wasn't the mother. It was the neighbor. The neighbor's a believer. The mother's not. The mother said, there's no sense to me going. Nothing will happen. The mother's neighbor said, well, I believe it can. Please let me take her. She said, you can take her if you want. You watch them tears fill in her eyes. You better know what to tell her. You better be sincere. You better not just have a plan B cop out. Well, you know, we're just going to believe. You got to mean that. You're not saving face. You're not just escaping the uncomfortable moment. We got to be sincere in what I'm teaching here. You get to go and you lay on your bed at night and you remember that baby, because you will. And you say, Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you right now, even as I lay here, for the working of your Spirit, doing something phenomenal in that child. God, I worship you. It's called faith. It works through love and relationship, not need. Faith doesn't work because we have a need. Faith works because we have a covenant. Friday, my phone rings in the office close to noon. It's the lady. The mom walked by the room of the baby, who hasn't made a sound for months because of the seizures. Hasn't made a sound. She just shakes and her eyes go this way. She walks by her room and she's in her crib making baby sounds. 9 months old. She goes, what? She runs into the room and she's holding a crib toy. And she's going, she goes, she scoops her and runs her to the major medical center in our area, an hour away. They run every test they could and said, we don't know what to tell you, ma'am, but every test is negative and your baby is fine. The last I talked to the lady, that baby was in fourth grade. No effects of that thing. See what's wrong with me? I make mistakes and he's merciful and he teaches me. She's leaving. Really makes me wonder, guys. Really makes me wonder if you don't hear that voice of Holy Spirit in that moment. And when she walks out the door, you just close the doors if nothing happened and say, oh, well, maybe next time. Because in that position, this isn't condemning, it's honor. It's so privileged to be in that position. I'm representing Christ and I'm giving him to her. And when the person doing that believes wrong things, I wonder what that means. When the person representing him isn't representing him through their belief, are you guys with me? Yes. It's a good testimony, isn't it? Got a bunch of them I could tell you. I got a bunch of heartbreakers too. But you can see my heart's not broken. We have a greater victory through him than heartbreak. I've held children that died, people. But I've seen children live. We got one at home that was healed of the most ravaging brain tumor known. They don't even give you a time frame because it destroys you so quick. And God took it out of the boy's head. I held another one and watched him die. Drives us crazy. And because it drives us crazy, we'll stay in trouble. I don't have time for all those questions that confuse us. I have too many answers to grow in. And I'm going to hold on to truth till I see freedom. And if they hand me another baby, I'm going to pray like I never lost one. Yeah. You lost something, buddy. Just your shirt, though. Wasn't that good timing? The little boy that got healed of the brain tumor, really little, 2.5. He's in the service and I'm teaching and preaching in a healing service. And he's just 2.5. He just He grabs two pens out of the back holder of the chair where the offering and the visitor slips, where he pulls two pens out. And he starts, or he had one pen and a paper, a prayer request paper. He starts playing a drum while I'm preaching, ready to pray for people. He goes, ya, da, da, da. And he comes out in the aisle. And the parents already told me what was going on and what they were just diagnosed with, and already told me the situation, so I already knew. And I was just talking about, unless you become like a little child, and I was teaching a restoration back to innocence, not childishness. And right when I'm teaching that, he comes out in the aisle. Zero self-consciousness. He ain't thinking he's disturbing a thing. He's just a kid. Total innocence, total purity, and a total pleasure to God's heart. He ain't disrupting a thing. He ain't running Holy Spirit out of the meeting. And the parents aren't in trouble with God. I'll never forget it. It was so priceless. I said, guys, that isn't an accident. That right there is what I'm talking about. He has no clue you're looking at him. He has no clue of what he's, no self-consciousness. That is what Jesus means. And I said, hey, little buddy. He just looked up at me. Never met him in my life, 2 and a half. It's not my fault. It's Jesus. I'm in an amazing position right now. I said, Jesus loves you. I want to pray for you. Come here. And he just dropped the pen and paper like this and went. And came to me. You just rock him and you say, Jesus. That's all you do. Because you can't do anything else. We got to stop trying so hard. We mean so well. I am so not talking to a room of hypocrites. We try too hard. You try to pray right. Try to pray powerful. I want to grow to where I don't walk in those zones and then step out of them zones. I just want to live here. A lady with fourth stage cancer stood in front of me one time. I was teaching the power of his name and I was like this because the presence of God was so on me. And when you see me like this, it just means that. I just don't know what else to do. I just get my body gets like that. It's just what I do. And I was standing there. And I'm preaching the power of his name and tears rolled down my face. And I knew she had 4-stage cancer. And I never took my hands out of my pockets. The Lord had me froze like that. It wasn't irreverent. He just wanted people to realize we don't have to try hard. We just see. When you see what I see, when you see what I see, you'll do what I do. I just remember going, Jesus. And every trace of cancer left her body. And then I went to a friend's house and prayed all the time and prayed all the time. And I was watching him die and prayed all the time. And when I laid on my bed crying after his funeral, the Lord said, I said, Lord, help me. He said, Dan, what's the only leg you never saw grow that was born short and maimed and messed up? I said, the 5-inch leg in Ohio, the little boy, the 10-year-old. He said, yeah. He said, and what you saw with your eyes was bigger than where you've grown. And you let that thing shake you because you looked, it looked like an amputee. 10 years old, 5 inches short. It looked like an amputee. And he said, Dan, you don't understand that as much as you're growing in what I'm doing and building on what I've done, you're letting what hasn't happened influence you as well. Because you loved him, because he was your brother in the Lord. He said, when you prayed, you were watching him die. You're believing he's dying. You're hearing his numbers are up. You're watching his wife cry. And you're praying so passionate and so diligent and so persistent. And he said, you're motivated by the fear of death. You're losing him. And there was no faith in any of it. And I'm laying there on my bed just bawling because he was teaching me and giving me a revelation. I'm thinking, of course he is. It's so right. The reason I was so faithful, the reason I showed up all the time when I didn't have time, isn't because I was believing a miracle was coming. It wasn't because I was believing he's healed. Because I knew he was dying. I was afraid. I was watching him die. His face didn't even look the same. He didn't even look like my friend. That stuff tears us up. And it looks so sincere, and you're saying all the right things from a lot of different places. I hope I'm helping you. I'm just telling you some defeats in the sense, like seem like defeats, but defeat is just when you get your eyes off of what's possible because of what didn't happen. That would be defeat. I lost my mother to MS, and 5 months later, I watched a lady walk out of the church who didn't move her left side for 5 years. Why? Because I won't let my mom's death decide what I believe. The word already settled that. And I won't covet the life of my mother at the cost of who God is. Who God is way bigger than my mother's death. And I will not let a gift that God gave me called mom subvert what I'm created for and called to. I will not believe idolatry and give myself to it. I'm just telling you, you can come on into this thing. I'm inviting you in if you want to come. Okay, here's what we need to do. I am so late, it's ridiculous. See, you'll say, don't come back to the island. We don't have time. It's a problem when you live in eternity. You just don't think about it. I saw one vision of God's hand in my life coming from the sky, and it didn't have a wristwatch. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was two little girls dying in the NICU unit. Born of a mother who was an atheist 6 months before, who watched deaf ears open in a service and tried to leave. We flagged her at the door. Said, honey, don't leave. Something's wrong with you leaving. She staggered back and said, I came here an atheist. And when those ears popped open, you said, oops. She started to cry. She stood there and got born again. God showed me she was barren and couldn't conceive. It was causing great marital trouble. Young bride couldn't conceive. So in her heart, she said, what's the use? What's the use of coming together with my husband if it can't produce anything? Now her husband's not handling that well. Things aren't good. God in his mercy said, your heart's broken as a woman. You've been told you'll never have children. How do you know that? God. Ah! You want children. Yes. Let's pray. Prayed. Fire came in this lady's eyes. She just knew God opened her womb. It's a true story. I'm not fabricating it at all to make it funny. She stared at me and said, thank you. She said, I'm ready to go now. And I said, do we need to pray for your husband? She said, he'll be just fine. It's exactly. I got a vision. He worked at home. I had a vision of her running in the house and pouncing him. And after it was all done and hair's all frazzled and clothes laying everywhere, he says, honey, I don't know what church you went to, but keep going, girl. Just keep going. Six weeks later, she found out she had twins. 6 months later, she had them early, and they were both going to die. Yeah, that was a quick ooh. She calls you on the phone distraught. The kids are 1 pound 9 and 1 pound 10 ounces. There's so many issues, it ain't possible. They're not going to live. They're going to pull the respirator on Clarissa in a moment and watch her expire because there's no lungs that are formed. So you got a distraught mother that calls you and says, I had the babies. They're both going to die. You don't know what to do. You've maybe never been in that situation. And I said, honey, did God give you grace to conceive? She said, yes. I was just doing what I'm taught to do by the Lord. I'm just trusting. I'm just doing my best to believe, right? I'm probably over my head, right? She says, yes. I said, then he'll give you grace to hold on to those babies. Let's pray. And before I got a word out of my mouth, my whole kitchen turned into a sky with my eyes wide open. And the most majestic, powerful, masculine hand you've ever seen in your life came down through my kitchen. And I look to the bottom of my kitchen. There's two little stick figurines where the floor should be. And this hand came down and scooped them into the cup of the hand. Now, if I didn't have the theology I have, guess what I say? Take heart, honey. Your children are with the Lord. Yeah. Guess what I said? Honey, you need to stop crying right now. Your children are in the hand of the living God. They are not going to die. They will be fine. She said, well, I do have peace. I said, peace? She didn't have the vision. I did. I didn't handle it well. Peace? Are you kidding me? Peace? Honey, your kids are in the hand. I'm freaked out. You think you want this stuff, and when it comes, it's hard to handle. I was so rude to her on the outside because I was so overwhelmed by the vision. I didn't even realize it. My wife came and said, what are you doing? Are you okay? I said, no, I'm not okay. I listened to what I told her. I said, honey, I'm done talking about this. Call me in the morning with the good report. And I hung up the phone. I went to church and came home. And my phone's flashing. Pastor Dan, it worked, it worked. Your prayer worked. My prayer worked. My kitchen turned into a sky. Hello? My prayer worked. They said they unhooked my little daughter. And they were depressed and waiting for her to expire. And were standing there crying. And she rolled and she wiggled. And she rolled and she wiggled. From side to side. And they said it should have happened by now. We don't understand. They ran the little MRI machine into the room and began to ultrasound her little chest. And there were two little lungs in her that weren't there a minute ago. Those girls raised up to be over 4 pounds and they left them out of NICU. They're probably 12 years old. She got her girls. Came to church as an atheist. 2 ears opened. She got saved. God opened her womb. Death came and tried to take them kids. Satan tried to crush her heart. She crawled freaking out. She called freaking out. And I was probably way over my head. And God turned my kitchen into a sky. If you're sick tonight and you wouldn't know it if you were healed, there'd be no way to check you, tell. You'd have to let time tell. You'd need a test. Or you'd let a couple days go by and you'd have a better idea. You just wouldn't be able to tell us right now other than the expression of faith in your heart. I realize I'm so sorry how late it is and I'm watching all these people having to leave and it feels like I can't stop. So you're just going to have to understand some things about me. I just obey my conscience. I would probably go cry if I had stopped earlier. I know you could say you preached too long. You're going to have to talk to Jesus about that. I have convictions. There's things that, yeah, this is important stuff. I'm just telling you, I'm not making excuses and I'm not slighting the people that had to leave. People have schedules. I understand. Not everybody can stay. It doesn't mark you unspiritual. I'm just telling you, there's things that I feel like God wants to say. So we're praying now, okay? I need the people that wouldn't know, you wouldn't know if you were healed tangibly and physically. There'd be nothing to examine because of the condition. I need you and only you to stand up really quickly if you can. Please. We'll do this quickly. It won't be ineffective. I'm telling you the testimonies that I see. No, you just stay right where you're at, honey. You're so aggressive. You're awesome. I should have just hugged you while you were up here. Come here. Let me get something out of that. That was just good. So sweet. She just come running right to the middle. You're so precious. Stand there. So I got the right group.
you wouldn't know. There's nothing to check. You just have a condition that's not wholeness and you want it to go and never come back. The results that we're seeing, and I'm not into percentages and results, the testimonies we're getting back from simple settings like this, backed with a lot of teaching, is amazing. We got to understand what faith is. We got to understand not to try too hard. We got to understand we're not self-conscious. We got to understand it's not our prayer that heals. It's His finished work and His love for the people standing. It makes it so much easier to pray and believe. Because you can't produce anything and you don't have to. You just have to be sincere and see a woman standing here and just be sincere and just say something like this. Father, you love her so much. You proved it through the cross and through your Son. And you paid the price for her total redemption. Every sickness, every weakness, and every symptom, you come out of her. And don't you ever come back again. Be whole because He loves you. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah? It's that simple and sincere. You say, wonder if nothing happens. Throw that out of your mind. My Bible says, if you lay hands on the sick believing, they recover. That question isn't kingdom. You with me? I don't need to take a lot of time on this. If you're sitting real close to somebody standing, just make contact. Just tap and say, hey, give me your hand. Just be real. Get their hand. Get somebody quick. And I want you to just pray wholeness over them right now. They won't know. They can't check. We're just believing they're going to be healed. All I want you to do if you're standing is believe God loves you, please. Just believe God loves you. How can I believe that after all I've been through? Because He put His Son through something that proves His love. Believe the cross and believe the love. Father, we thank you for wholeness in this room. Church, just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Every sickness, every weakness, leave. And Father, bring total wholeness in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for it. Yeah, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your touch. If you're being prayed for right now, all I want you to do is thank Him that He loves you. Believe it, just out of your heart. Father, thank you for loving me. I receive your love. I receive all things new. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Wow. Is it really 20 of 11? Okay. I was wondering why I'm so tired. Okay, guys, listen. That was a joke, by the way. I went to bed last night at 1. They finally let me go to bed at 1. John, Emmanuel, they're just relentless. They're just, no. Went to bed at 1. My eyes popped open at 6:13. It was amazing because 1 was 4 to me because I was up since 3 in the morning in Pennsylvania. So it's just all right. It's called grace. Now watch this. We need to do this. We'll be quick with it. It'll be awesome and fun. If you need healing in this room tonight, and you would know it if your body changed, and you would know it if you're healed. And I know there was a couple wheelchairs. I see a gentleman, you've been here all weekend, and I just bless you. I know you've been sitting there all weekend. If you want prayer, just let us know. You guys want prayer? Okay, good. Listen, I'm not exploiting him. He won't be embarrassed or offended at this. Don't ever let the appearance of a condition scare you away, run you away. You go to that stuff because you're not called to produce anything. You're called to be sincere and believe. You say, but wonder if nothing changes. We're not turning faith into a point in time. Don't ever do it. Come on, if we're that intimidated, we'll never pray for the sick. We'll always be afraid. You'll never be Superman and jump in a phone. Well, you won't even find a phone booth anymore. Poor Clark Kent, right? He's like running the earth trying to manifest, and there's darkness everywhere, and he can't even manifest. There's nowhere to go. Ah, there's no phone booth. Isn't there one in London? So Clark is swimming the ocean and trying to get there. You're never going to just pray so long that you're like Superman coming out of a phone booth knowing everyone you touch is healed. You just believe His word and you believe and you're sincere. And when you walk to a gentleman that's in a condition that looks to your eyes complicated or extreme or obvious, You cannot be intimidated by that. You trust God begins to bring change and strength and increase. You've got to start where you can believe. I know a man that prayed for a girl paralyzed in a car wreck, severed her brainstem, completely paralyzed, prayed for 1,000 times plus. And they said, could you pray for my daughter? And he was ready to pray. It was late. And the Lord said, don't pray. You don't believe a thing. You're just doing the church thing. You're just praying. You're not believing she's going to be healed. And he got so affronted in his heart. He's like, oh. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do after that? He said, I want you to get sincere and find a place of faith. What can you can believe for? Well, I can believe you can at least move her finger and start to move her hand. So he starts to pray. Well, her brain's severed. Her brainstem's severed. So that's a miracle. It's like, what? That's just like be healed, right? But to him, it's just a finger. He starts praying. She starts moving her finger. Next thing you know, she's moving her hand. Next thing you know, she's moving her arm. And they put the video on her and have her whole body on video coming alive. He was going to pray rhetorically at the end of the service, very late at night. They hung in the wings. Can you pray? He's doing the church thing. And the Lord said, don't you do that. You're not believing anything. You're just getting by. Believe for something. So he believed for a finger. And they watched her chase kids around the auditorium. You got to start somewhere. Don't run from situations. Don't see two crutches that are strapped to an arm and then think, oh, that's overwhelming. I just want tendonitis. It took the same sacrifice to heal both. They're the same to God. Don't let them be different to us. I'm just being, is it okay if I'm this plain? Okay. You guys okay over there? So I want somebody to make sure that they go stand with that family when we do this. And anybody else, is there anybody else that can't stand or won't be able to stand, but you want prayer? Let's just see you ahead of time so we can pinpoint you. Anyone that can't stand for prayer, but you want prayer? Anyone? Okay. So here's what I need you to do quick. If you're sick in any way and you were healed tonight, and you would absolutely know it because it would be a body check. And you'd be able to tell without exaggeration, without hype, without emotion. I don't want actually any music tonight. I'm going to make this thing as dry as I can. On purpose. On purpose. Because in Walmart's parking lot, it doesn't always feel rosy. Walking down the sidewalk, it doesn't feel like atmosphere. The atmosphere is called the kingdom of God and it's in you. And it has nothing to do with how you feel and if it feels dry or wet. It has to do with Jesus being Lord. So he told me to do it this way and make it as dry as possible on purpose. I was in a church where there was a ton of spirit school students, supernatural school students. I said, is there a bunch of supernatural school students? And they're like, yeah. I said, does this all feel dry to you? They're like, yeah, dude. I said, good, it's on purpose. They're like, whoa. Stand to your feet if you need healing, and you would know it if you're healed. Please, please, I'm not commanding you. Stand to your feet. And if you were healed, you would know it. Okay, so here's what I don't want tonight. I don't want exaggeration. I don't want you making something up to make people feel better or because you're uncomfortable. I want total honesty in the moment and your assessment. I want it to be based on what you're finding, okay? So I don't want you saying, yay, I feel great. And the truth is you're looking at the big blue eyes that just prayed for you. And you're thinking, oh, I don't want to hurt her and discourage her. I'll just tell him I feel better. That would be called lying. I read in Revelations, you lie, you fry. I'm just having fun. Lighten up. I just don't want any fryers here. You're not French fries. You're the children of God. No. Okay, now listen. Come on, man. Let's recover. Bring me. Come on, let's come back. That was my fault. I'm sorry. I need you. We'll do this as a family. Don't anybody pray yet. If you need prayer, raise your hands real high if you're standing because we don't want to lose you in the crowd. Now, guys, the people sitting, you didn't know this, but you're my prayer team.
I know we have ministry team here. I'm not disrespecting them, and you're very involved in this. You get, guys get involved. But I want the other people sitting that don't have ministry tags to get involved as well. And I'm going to orchestrate this. I'm going to oversee this. It'll be clean. Don't any leaders get nervous. Seriously. Because we said, well, we don't know everybody, and we don't know where they're from. And whether I'm going to give specific instruction, and we're going to do it all together. And watch and see what God does in this room. It's going to be good. Keep your hands up. And don't put them down until somebody claims you. If you're sitting and you're nervous, I really want you on my team. I do. And if you've never prayed for the sick, I definitely want you on my team. And if you're seasoned and you've prayed for the sick and seen healings, I want you on my team too. But I want everybody involved if you can. Can the people sitting have fun with this? Go grab somebody. Don't pray yet. Just grab them if you don't know them. Introduce yourself, but take their hand and say, hey, I'm claiming you. You're mine tonight. Just have fun with it. Get loose a little. Lighten up. Don't be tense. Go find somebody. As soon as they claim you, put down your hand. Please, put down your hand as soon as they claim you. I only want hands up if you didn't get snagged yet. Come on, look around. People sit and run to a hand that's still up. Put it down if they got you. If you got claim, put it down. I still got hands right out there in the middle. I got about four hands out there. Can people help? Don't tag team. Don't jumble up on people. I need you spread out one-on-one so we cover everybody. Do we have everybody? There's a lady's hand back here. I still see it. You guys got her? Woohoo! Okay, is there anybody I'm missing or do we have everybody? Awesome. Can I get up here so you guys can see me? I gotta get up here. Watch this. Watch this. I want 3 seconds and only 3 seconds. Ask them why they stood and then look right back up here. Don't get into long conversations. Don't pray yet. And don't tell them your life story. Just tell them why you stood. Simple. Torn rotator cuff. Degenerated knees. I need a hip replacement. I have arthritis in my joints. Just be 3 seconds. Yeah, you got it? We done? Are we done? You got it? Look at you guys, are so social. You're like, see how much you love each other? Look at that. I can't even pull you back. Are you ready? Okay, now here's, it's not a catch, but this is where I'm going to step in. It's not controlling. It won't limit God. There's a reason I do this. I'm only going to give you 10 seconds to pray. Okay? It's going to turn out to be about 6, actually, because in about 6, I'm going to say, okay, wrap it up. Because when you wrap it up, I just want you to simply end your prayer something like this. It's just healthy, and I encourage it. It's not telling you how to pray, but something like this. Arthritis, you leave the body. Every bit of pain, you come out. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you because you love them. I just want you to end acknowledging God's love for the person in the last few seconds. I don't want to exceed 10 seconds. There's a reason. You won't get self-conscious in 10 seconds. You won't run out of things to say because you don't have to. Watch this. Be healed in Jesus' name is probably enough when there's a revelation of what he accomplished. True? So he shed his blood to forgive the act of sin. He shed his, gave his body to remove the penalty that sin incurred and what's affected us through the fall. That doesn't mean people directly sin to cause their situation. It just means stuff happens because we're living life and Jesus came to make it right. Are you guys with me? So I'm going to say, go ahead here in a few seconds. I'm not praying at all. I'm not praying over top you. I'm not going to pray loud and override you. You'd be amazed what I have to fight with. People say, well, they're being healed because you're here and you're walking in this anointing and we're under the umbrella of what you carry. Sounds so spiritual, but when I read my Bible, it says the sign follows a believer, and I think I'm looking at her, a church of believers. Amen. And if I get involved and just pray for the sick and some sick get healed, that would be awesome for the ones that get healed and some that weren't. We'd have to talk and just whatever. And then I would leave and yay and whatever. I'm leaving. You guys are here and he's with you. And I want you to keep praying for the sick and don't grow weary in well-doing. And don't just look at results and think with your mind and look with your eyes. You believe with your heart, and never let faith be a point in time. It's the position of your heart. Why do you lay hands on the sick? Because you believe. So you ready? When the 10 seconds is up, here's what I want you to do. The people we prayed for, I want you to begin to check your body after they pray and say amen. Just take a minute and just acknowledge in your own heart and learn, be good at this. Be good at receiving God's love. Father, you love me. Thanks for what you're doing in me. I appreciate your love tonight. Thank you. And then take the time to sincerely, thoroughly check your body in whatever way you would need to. And then we're going to do some inventory and seeing what's going on in the room. When you check your body and you realize you're healed and go, whoa, it's going. I want you to begin to go like this for me. Okay? No exaggeration. I want you to begin to go like this when you know it's going. And I'm going to find out what it was. Now, here's what I want you to do. The other people, if there's anybody that says, man, it didn't change, please don't disconnect and unhook. Don't say, oh, here we go again. It never happens. I never get healed. Don't do that to yourself tonight. You look around the room, you stay engaged, you listen to the testimonies, and you go, wow, God, you're a healer and you're doing good things. Wow, you're doing a work in us tonight. Man, thank you. And you begin to check that thing again. And you say, well, it's still there. And all of a sudden, testify. God, thank you for what. Well, and I'm telling you, watch, things will happen like popcorn because we're going to learn to continue and believe. Are you hearing me? And I'm not praying. You're praying. And he finished the work. And we're a people of a priesthood of believers. Right? Y'all ready? Now, did you remember what you're praying for? Or did I make you forget? Don't I take long for everything? It's amazing. This little young girl, she's back there. I saw her face. She's 14. I encouraged her the other day. She said, he talks so long, Mom. Yeah, I gotcha. I do talk long. I'm sorry, but I'm not. Are you ready? Look at that person real quick. Make them a little uncomfortable. And just when you look at them, here's what I want you to see. That Jesus thinks enough of them that he would die and raise from the dead. That he would pay a price and give them a promise. You get that? Your most sincere, no works, no self-conscious, faithful prayer after that teaching that you can give. You got 10 seconds. Pray for them to be made whole. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for what you do. Thanks for encouraging your people. Thank you. Okay, begin to wind that thing down. Because you love them. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, wrap it up. Put a string on that thing. Tie a knot. In Jesus' holy name. People that were just prayed for, thank God that he loves you. Maybe even a second before you check your body. Just affirm his love. Thank you. And begin to check your body. You already know you're healed? Awesome. We'll check in. Check your body. When you're healed, let me know right now. I need to see this right now. I need you to go like this when you know you're healed. Okay? Can you shout out? Can somebody yell out why you're raising your hand? Do you have a quiet voice or can you yell it out? Yeah. What happened? Can you holler it out? Is there anybody can help me? Who has a handheld or something they can run that to people? If somebody can help me? I want you watch what happens in this room. We are so not done yet. God's going to do amazing things. I'm telling you, I see this all the time because he's excited that we get involved. He's excited that you believe. I need a runner. I need somebody to go. There's a young lady back there, right back there. She's by the beam back there. Wave your hand, honey, so the man can find you. Don't be afraid of the microphone. I want to find out what happened. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. He's there. Okay, let's listen.
What happened to me when at the beginning of the meeting, some kind of pain started here.
Okay.
So I was like, why? What's that happened to me now? And I was a little bit worried. Even when you were preaching, I was like, okay, I start to think about it. But then, with this little thing, she came here. I told her I feel pain here. And it was amazing because she started right away to put his hand on me.
Put her hand there.
And instantly feel something all around my body.
All over your body?
I think she started praying before you say it.
Yeah?
And I'm pretty sure I was healed before.
Before we even prayed? Yeah.
Yeah. It was really amazing.
That's good.
Yeah, and now the pain.
Was the pain all the time? Was it a lot of pain before? It was always there?
No, I think probably it was like, because when I came, I was thinking, I got, I like to see somebody heal. But then the pain started in me.
But it was there before you asked for prayer, stood up, and it left in the meantime, right?
Yeah.
It's not there at all.
No.
Not at all. Good. Do you believe her? Did you hear that? No, not at all.
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. That's good.
Thank
Jesus.
You.
Who else? Come on. I need to see who knows your body changed when we prayed. I don't want any exaggeration. Just come talk to me real quick. Let's just cover a couple. We won't have time. We got one over here. Good. Go ahead. Talk to us.
I have been aching underneath my feet and my knees have been hurting all day.
All day.
Yeah, and they kind of click and stuff. The doctor said I have arthritis and stuff, but
okay.
I don't. I don't have arthritis.
Okay.
I'm declaring right now I don't.
No,
have
I get that.
And
yeah.
And the pain is gone. Like I mean,
gone.
It didn't take. He just you said to pray for 10 seconds. He didn't pray 10 seconds.
Right.
And it's gone.
That's awesome. God, you're good. Never come back in Jesus' name. Who else, real quick, can share an encouraging testimony of something changing when you were prayed for? We got a handful over here. We got a hot corner over here. Yeah. Now listen, if you were prayed for and you're still standing here and you didn't make your way out yet, and you're to hang out if you can, for if you stay this long, come on, just hang in there.
Okay.
And when you're listening to these testimonies, guys, keep checking your bodies and stay thankful and don't disconnect, okay? Watch what happens. Don't disconnect. Thank God, stay humble, and don't disconnect. Go ahead.
All right, so I tore my ankle ligaments playing softball. Torn. Yeah.
What's that mean? What did it affect you? How did that affect you?
There was swelling, bruising, couldn't really walk. Just before we prayed... I did a calf raise just to see if there was pain. There was. She prayed for 10 seconds, did it again, no pain whatsoever.
None. You feel like you can use it? It feels restored. Awesome. Man, God, you're good. Come on, that's awesome. Go ahead, honey.
I don't know if I can really talk. I'm kind of shaking right now.
That's all right.
I've had scoliosis ever since my young youth.
Had scoliosis?
In my back in two parts. And every time I'd stand, it would hurt. And I can't feel it at all right now.
Was there a pressure? You could just tell it's changed.
Every time I'd sit and stand, it hurts.
So you've been checking it. It's not there.
I didn't stand. Right when I stood, I didn't feel it.
God, we just thank you for that. That's so good. I've seen about 30 scoliosises that were S-curved with a hump come out of people in the 10-second and right away. I stood beside people who you could hear their bones clunking. We watched a lady in Virginia grow 4 inches when her condition changed and she got healed. 4 inches she grew right in front of our eyes. Anybody else? You have a testimony to share. Who else you know? Let me see. Don't be afraid of the microphone. It's important to testify. Is there anybody else you want to share something real quick that's still here? Anybody? Okay, let me ask you this quick.
There's one.
Who, is there one? Yeah? Good. I was just feeling we got to do one more.
I stood up for the unknown on testing.
Okay.
Well, I broke my back in 2008. And I've had chronic pain ever since. But I also have I have been diagnosed with osteoporosis, so I stood up for the undiagnosed, but, and I believe that I've received a healing. Thank you for praying for me, but I also have no pain anymore either. So I'm just, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, kiddo. Before this prayer and before tonight, did you always have pain? Was it?
I've had pain since 2008.
2008, you have never been without pain.
Never.
Never. Guys, do you get that? And tonight, you have no pain. Ugh. There's just stuff all over YouTube. That's all I can tell you. I don't bring any. No. Yeah, oh, I'm all over YouTube. Just go on the computer and type in my name. It's apparently ridiculous. Okay? Is that awesome? Come on. I'm trying to, so we don't get rhetorical with stuff. Not one moment without pain since 2008. That's 8 years, guys. That was real. That's 8 years. And then all of a sudden, boom. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody here, you know something changed and you're somewhat healed, but you didn't raise your hand because it's not all the way, but you know it's changed. It's just not completely gone. Let me see who you are. There's a bunch of you. See, this is interesting. We're seeing people say it totally went away, but now we're seeing people say, hey, man, I know something's happening. It's different. We didn't hype you. We didn't play. I didn't get these guys up here to let her loose. We didn't ask your favorite song and sing it over you. We just prayed for 10 seconds. Let me see again. Who knows your body changed somewhat? It's just not all the way. Keep your hands up. Guys, are you guys tired? Or are you guys okay? If you're okay, grab somebody, especially if your person's still here. If the person that prayed for you is still here, if you see your person with their hand up, grab them real quick. And let's just give them 10 more seconds. And here's what I want you to do. Father, thank you for what you're doing. You're a finished work, complete wholeness. Everything changed right now. Watch what happens. We're going to see some things change. Pray right now. Be thankful. It got better. We're not being greedy. He paid for restoration. Just thank you for wholeness. We're encouraged, God. Thank you for the momentum of healing. Thank you for their body being changed. That's what I want you to believe. Okay? Wind it down. In Jesus' name, thank you. Check your bodies again real quick, guys. We're wrapping up and I'm trying to hurry. I'm sorry I'm always so late. I'm sorry. Check your bodies. Did anybody change that time? Who changed that time? And you're going, wow, it changed. It was somewhat healed, but is there anybody that's completely gone that time? Completely gone, or it just got better yet? Completely gone? Completely gone? Okay, better yet? Who's better yet? Better yet? Better yet? I got a lot better yet, better yet. I'm coming on. Better yet, better yet. I got a better yet. I got a better yet. I got a lot of better yet. Here's what I've learned. We're not going to interview anybody right now. Here's what I've learned. Better plus better plus better eventually equals what? Completely whole. So this is up to you guys. If you just got better than you just were and you were better, you probably ought to just pray one more time. And if you get a little better, probably just say, yay, God, thanks, complete wholeness. Because better plus better plus better, we're just about there. So go ahead and pray for them. Stay focused. This is my last question. And then you guys are done with me for the weekend, really. Who here is still paying attention? And we prayed for you and nothing changed. Nothing changed. Let me see your hands. This is the one we don't talk about much, and I always do. Don't be ashamed. Don't take this personal. Don't take this hard. I got a handful, guys. Look around. These people said nothing changed physically when we prayed. Now, here's what I want to share with you real quick and be as brief as I can. The tendency of that sometimes is we read into it. Think of it. We read into it because we hear a couple testimonies. We see no more pain. We see a bunch of people that said, man, I'm a lot better. And all of a sudden, there you stand and nothing changed. The analytic response tends to be, man, I got to be doing something wrong. Something's got to be blocking. Why ain't I being healed? And all of a sudden, you start assessing if you're not careful and come out of this thing with a negative thing. And the people that prayed for you might be like, man, we blew it. We should go get them because when they prayed, their person got healed. Faith is not a point in time. You guys that raised your hands still listening, this is really important. I don't know who you are, so I'm just trusting. I see enough faces looking up here. The Christian has one response. Thank you, Father, for loving me and what you're doing in my body and in my life. And God, I so appreciate the people that surrounded me and prayed. And I thank you for the grace that's working in my situation. God, you're making all things new. That's called faith. That's called relationship. When you go to bed tonight and you would crawl in your bed and say your hip grabs you, it's not about going, oh man, there it is again. Man, I was hoping tonight was the night. I don't know why I'm never healed. No, that is zero. You crawl in bed and that thing tries to bite you and you say, wow, Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for the work you're doing in me, God. They laid their hands on me sincerely and I believe and I thank you. You're doing a work in my hip. That's the way your hip's going to be changed. Are you guys with me? Now, if you want to, is there anybody wants to do that didn't receive change, but you want to do 10 more seconds and let's just see what happens? Is there anybody who would say I was prayed for and I'd love 10 more seconds? Look at these guys. Whoa. Come on, somebody grab them. Say, hey, if you lost your people or your person's gone and they had to leave, grab somebody right now. His hands up back there in the striped blue shirt. Somebody go attack him. Get that man. Get your hand up. They don't see you. Get that guy right there. Somebody go give him 10 seconds. 10 seconds. That man right there sitting down, he's got his hand up. Somebody go give him 10 seconds. The lady. Give her 10 seconds. Jesus' name. Come on, pray. Just give him 10 seconds. Jesus' name. Don't mix up your prayer. Don't grab for straws. Pray the same thing. Be healed. Be whole. Jesus' name. Come on. Yeah, God, thank you. Check your bodies for me. Come on, wrap that up and check your bodies. We're about to go home. Check your bodies. Out of that last group, if you're paying attention, out of that last group, anybody changed? Did anything happen in that last group? It changed that time? Did it go away? Just got noticeably better. About 60%? What is it? 80%. Nothing changed the whole time up until now, and they just prayed, and it's 80% better? Okay. Awesome. See, guys? Whoa. It's really good. Anybody else change? Anybody else? See, we're going to believe. We're going to stay in faith. We're going to walk in relationship. We're not going to grow weary in doing well. We're going to leave here in communion with God. Amen? Check your bodies. Anybody else? That last group. Did anybody else change? Anything? Still? It feels... Yeah? It's good. All right, guys. I don't know how to close this out. There's a lot going on and a lot of loving in the room. So if you're listening, I'm just telling you, thank you for letting me be here. I love you guys. Listen. Run well. Keep this truth in your heart. We can live this way. We can cover the earth with His glory. We're an army. Let's stay raised up. Amen? Love you. Bless you.